This week, on the first day of April, April Fool's Day, we are traditionally expected to play practical jokes and to be the good-natured victims of jokes played by others. I remember that once the BBC television in London broadcast a programme about the Italian spaghetti harvest, showing diligent peasants cutting long strings of spaghetti hanging from trees. The origin of April Fool's Day is a mystery. It's certainly many centuries old, but every historical source gives a different explanation. Some point to the Hilaria Festival in ancient Rome on March 25th, or the Holi or Huli Festival of India at the end of March. Other authorities say that All Fool's Day began with the introduction of the Gregorian calendar in 1562, which changed the start of the year from April 1st to January 1st. Those who got their dates mixed up were called April Fools. That's all harmless nonsense, if it's true, or even if it's not. But the tradition of practical joking on the first day of April is far less vigorous than it used to be, perhaps because every potential victim is ready to call his or her lawyer and sue for pain, humiliation, or catastrophic injury. This is rather a pity. April Fool's Day was a special moment, the one day in the year when we were reminded of what we had been for the previous 364 days. Perhaps we've come to take ourselves too seriously for practical jokes. We have altogether too much self-esteem. Schools and self-help gurus make a virtue out of it, but there's no excuse for self-esteem unless and until we have done something estimable, which most of us have not. Another name for self-esteem is the biblical sin of pride, and we certainly wouldn't want to be guilty of that. The fool is a recurring character in history precisely because he, and it was always he, reminded even the most self-important kings how unserious they were. In ancient Rome, a slave would stand behind a victorious leader as he paraded through the streets, whispering in his ear, "Remember you are mortal. Remember you are not a god." It's not recorded whether the leaders paid any attention to this advice or what happened to the slaves afterwards. In previous ages of monarchy, the fool was an integral part of the king's court. His job was to entertain the court and, more importantly, to bring the king down to a human level by making rude comments about his glorious majesty, which the king was supposed to laugh about and suffer with good grace. The fools in Shakespeare's plays have wisdom as well as wit and are always willing to speak truth to power. In King Lear, the fool argues with the king and tries to improve his behaviour, but without success. It's a thankless job being the king's fool, and often a dangerous one. How long would the king's fool survive now, speaking truth to power? It's hardly surprising that there are so few volunteers. This is David Boucher.